Okay, we're going to start from Memo Mabed, Mutar Adam. We had this case about the top of the page. Mutar Adam b'krovat tzarat chalutzato v'asur b'tzarat krovat chalutzato. Okay, you can see they're a little bit making a play on words here. So a person is mutar to marry the relative of the tzara of his chalutza, right? Our Mishnah was all talking about when he does chalitza, they develop a certain relationship, even though they're severing a relationship. The fact that they're severing this relationship also is a creation somewhat of a relationship. And therefore, he's asur to all her krovim. And what you see here is that he's mutar, though, to the tzarot of her, the krovim of her tzara. Okay, because they're already out of the picture. We're going to see the difference why in a little bit. And he's asur with the tzara of all the krovot of his chalutza. So all the krovot are asur to him, like the chalutza's mother, for example. If she is married to someone who has other wives, then he's forbidden also to her. In other words, that's the relationship that's developed. So that is a problem. So now, the Gemara says, well, there's two dots there, mutar adam v'chulei. Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, haba al tzarat chalutza havlab mamzer. Now we're just talking about the tzara herself. What happens? You have two wives of this guy. This guy dies, and his wives fall to Yibam, right? Now, the guy does Yibam, obviously, with only one of them, or he does chalitza in this case. He does chalitza with one of them. Now, what happens? Normally, what do we say? When Yibam comes, paka isur eshetach. There's no longer an isur of eshetach. Okay, so what happens? Then, once he does chalitza with the first wife, what happens if he then marries the first wife? Do you remember? It's no longer esharach. It's now an isur lav of asher lo bana. Remember, it wasn't, he didn't rebuild the father, the brother's name. Therefore, he is no longer allowed to. Okay? So now it's asher lo yivneh in the pasuk, right? So because it says yivneh, it means not because asher lo bana, asher lo yivneh, he can no longer do it again. So it's an isur lav. So that's his relationship to the chalutza. What is his relationship to the tzara now? Did his tzara go back to being isur esharach? Or is his tzara now, do you look at the chalitza with one wife as if she's, we saw this before, by the way, as if she's the shlicha of all the other wives, and therefore whatever her status is equivalent to the status of the tzarot. Okay, which also sort of goes with our Mishnah, because if her status is equivalent to that of the tzarot, then all the krovim of the tzara should be asur just like her. Okay? So now, what do you see here? That he says that if you marry the tzarat chalutz, the tzara of the chalutza, havlad mamzer. What does it mean, the vlad is mamzer? That it's not an isur lav, but that the tzara went back to being asur eshetach.
So it's
karet. And if it's karet, then the vlad is mamzer. Okay, so we, according to this, she's not so much the shaliach, because her status now becomes different than the chalutza. So again, if he were to marry the chalutza, it would be isur lav, of asher lo yivneh. If he marries the tzara now, it's isur eshetach. So there's a difference between them. My taima, be isura kaima. Okay? She is, she's kayam be isura of the esharach. In other words, she never had the esharach with her was never removed. The esharach was removed for the chalutza, because she did chalitza. Okay? So because of that, her esharach is gone. But the tzara never did anything with this guy, and therefore she's adayim isura kaima. Am Rabbi Yosef, av ana nami tenina.
Except that had he done yibum or chalitz, no, he did chalitz. If he wouldn't have married her, then she would have been totally free, and the tzara would not have been considered an eshetach.
Say that again. If he could have done yibum with her,
if he did, but he didn't. Yibum or he did chalitz
with
and
who?
Did not marry.
With the first wife.
With the first wife, and he did not marry her afterwards, then the tzara would have nothing left on her.
That's what they're saying, that the tzara now is allowed to marry anybody she wants, because he took care of his chalitza, except for him. But she stays in her original isra to him from when she was married to the first husband. When she was married to the first husband, she had an Isur Esh Arach to the brother. When Yibum comes along,
he can't marry the Tzara.
First of all, no matter what, he can't marry the Tzara. It's just a matter, is it Isur Lav or is it Isur Kari? So when we say with the one who actually did Yibum or Chalitza with him, it would have to be Chalitza in this case, if the one we did Chalitza with, what happens? Right? Originally, there's Esh Arach, right? Comes Yibum, the Chiyuv of Yibum, right? And it dissolves Esh Arach by all the sisters, really, right? All the wives, really. But since only one of them does Chalitza, we say that the original one, right, the one, the Tzara, stays with the Esh Arach, but, right, the Esh Arach gets reinstated, okay? Whereas the one he did Chalitza with has this new Isur of Lo Yivne, right? That now that you got rid of her, you can't ever marry her again, and that's an Isur Lav. Okay? So that's what we're saying. So now they're going to say that our Mishnah can support this opinion. Why? Av ananami tanina, mutar adam bikrovat tzarat chalutzato. So, iamar bishlamat tzarah barai mishum hachi mutar b'achota. Since you say, what do we say? The tzarah is just a regular Esh Arach, right? She's not in this new thing. Basically, what we're saying, in other words, is this chalitza had absolutely nothing to do with her. If it had absolutely nothing to do with her, then clearly her krovim, her krovot, would be mutarot lo, because the only reason why the krovot of the chalitza are asur is because she entered a relationship with him called chalitza, and that created a relationship that ushered her relatives. But this one had nothing to do with it, okay? Abira means b'chutz, okay? Bar is chutz. So she was out, meaning she was out of the whole chalitza thing. And therefore, mutar b'chota. If you say that the chalutza is just acting as a messenger for all the chalut, right? Just like we had this sugya, if you recall, the brother, is he acting like a messenger for all the brothers? And is the woman who does the yibum or chalitza acting as a messenger for all the tzarot? So if you see that she's acting as a total messenger, okay, therefore, amai mutar. It shouldn't be mutar, because she's basically, right, what do you say? Shlucho shel adam kamoto. So whatever is true for the chalutza should be true for the tzara, and therefore her relatives should be usher. So therefore, our Mishnah supports it. Now they say, Leimet havet yuvta to Rabbi Yochanan. This should raise a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Damar, ben hu, ben achim, ein chayavim lo ala chalutza karet, velo al tzarata karet. What do you see here? You're not chayav on the tzara karet, meaning, what's the isur for the tzara? Just like it is for the chalutza, asher lo yivneh, which is the isur lav. So if you see it as an isur lav, right, this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, what we just established should be a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Basically, our Mishnah sets a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, because our Mishnah says the tzara is different from the chalutza, and Rabbi Yochanan seems to imply that they're equivalent. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan v'tizbera, Achot chalutza d'oraita? What do you think? Achot chalutza is d'oraita? V'har marish lakish, kan shina rebi, achot rusha midivrei Torah, achot chalutza midivrei sofrim. What does he say? The reason you're not chayav karet in this case is because the reason you're not asur b'krovoteha is very simple. It's not because she's not acting as a shlicha. You could say that both of them now have isur lav and not isur karet. However, what's the difference with the chalutza? Why is the chalutza, why are her krovot not forbidden, and why is habal tzarata, why are we not forbidden in the krovot of the tzara? There's a different reason. Yes, she's her shaliach. However, what's the issue here? Achot chalutza, right? You can't marry the relative of your chalutza. That's achot chalutza, any relative. You can't marry krovot for chalutzot is not d'oraita. That's what he's saying. You think achot chalutza is d'oraita? Rish Lakish already said that the relatives of a grusha is midivrei Torah, but the relatives of a chalutza are only asur midrabanan. And therefore what? Therefore, we're only going to make it forbidden for the chalutza and not for the tzara. Even though she's acting as her shaliach, there's still a minor distinction between them. Okay, we said there's a major distinction. Is it Isur Lav? Is it Isur Karet, right? Rabbi Yochanan saying, no, both are Isur Karet. Both are Isur Lav. Both Paka Isur Karet. However, we're going to distinguish between the relatives because the whole issue of relatives anyway is on the midrabanan. And therefore, we're only going to make the midrabanan on the achot chalutza and not on the tzara. Okay, so he has a different reason to distinguish.
Who's liable for the karet or for the lav? man who marries
the man and the woman. Both of them. Both. Yeah. Forbidden relationships go both ways. Okay. Maishnahai or Maishnahai. So now we want to know what's the difference between, okay, like our little joke here, Krovat Sarat Chalutzato and Sarat Krovat Chalutzato. Okay. Why are the Tsarot of the Krovim of the Tsarot Mutarot, but the Tsara of the Krovot of the Chalutza, right? All the Chalutza's relatives, their Tsarot are Asur, but when it comes to the Tsara, okay, her relatives are permitted. So now we're going to distinguish between the Chalutza, right? We're going to, the Isurim of the Chalutza are going to extend even to the Tsarot of their relatives, but the issue of the Chalutza, for the Tsara herself, her relatives are not forbidden. Why is that? So there's two explanations. I'm just going to go with one for now, but know that the Tosfot explains it differently. Hada azla behada lebeitina, gazru buhu rabbanan. Vahayda lo azla behada lebeitina, lo gazru buhu rabbanan. The assumption is that the chalitza's relatives might go to court with her to give her moral support when she does her chalitza. Okay? So they go behadaz with her. Okay? And azal is to go. Those who go with her to the court, the Chachamim made a gzera on their relatives. Because what's the story with their relatives? Their relatives might be mistakenly thought of as they did chalitza with this guy. Okay, people won't know exactly who was married, who wasn't. And therefore, they're worried that the relatives are going to go out of court and people are going to think that they were chalitza. And if you machir them, then we're going to have a problem. So we're going to basically forbid the relatives tsarot also. So because we want... It's a gzera. When it comes to the chalutza, the tzara of the chalutza, so she doesn't go to court with the chalutza, right? She's the tzara. She's not giving her any moral support. So, therefore, nobody's going to confuse the fact that this tzara did chalutza with her, and therefore her relatives are not forbidden. Okay?
That's a far.
It's a bit of a.
Who says that it could be right and correct?
Right. So, look, it's a bit of a. There's some problems with this this perush. Tosfot has a different perush. Okay, you can look there if you want at the end of Tosfot here, because they say the gir says behadeh and lo behadah. It's with him and not with her, and it talks about who goes to court with him. He has a different explanation because this explanation of Rosh is a little difficult. Okay, but I always like to say this, whenever there's difficulty, right, and Rashi has one parish and then Tosfot will say something else, it's clear that they were struggling with what exactly is going on here. Nobody could come up with a perfect parish as to what exactly is going on. Okay, new Mishnah, top of Mema Aleph Amud Aleph. Hacholetz li'ivim to. He does chalitza, okay? Binasa achiv et achoto. Okay, he does chalitza with this woman. In the meantime, okay, let's take our sister woman. Okay, he does chalitza with a woman. Now, in the meantime, his brother died. One second. His brother marries her sister, which is mutar, right? Because two brothers can marry two sisters. Her brother marries his sister, umate, and then the brother dies. So now these guys, they're no longer married. He did chalitza with her, right? The first brother did chalitza, but remember, he's forbidden to her relatives. So now this is basically a case that's actualizing what we learned in the last Mishnah. So now the brother dies. He does chalitza with this woman. He can't do yibum with her, right? Okay, why does he do chalitza with her? Okay, because achot chalutzato is only asur midrabanan. So midoraita, he still has a chiyuv yibum, right? We've had this many, many times where whenever there's a isur drabanan to marry, but a chiyuv midoraita still to do yibum, so you do chalitza and you don't do yibum. So, okay, so you follow why it's an isur, right? Isur drabanan of achot chalutzato. That we just established already is only drabanan. We've established it before, but we specifically established it on a minute ago. So now he's forbidden to achot chalutzato midrabanan, but still there's a chiyuv midoraita because midoraita he's not forbidden to her. So therefore he's cholet v'lo mityabemet. V'chein, now we're going to see this problem. V'chein is a problem. Usually v'chein means and so, right? Meaning a similar case. Here we're going to have a different case, okay? And a different halacha. So it's a very strange thing. The Gemara is going to immediately say that. V'chein ha-megareshet ishto. Okay, now if you divorce your wife, okay, so now they're divorced instead of chalutzad, okay, she's divorced. V'nasa achiv et achota v'amet. And then his brother marries the sister, and then he dies. Harezo ptura. Okay, here's total ptur. Why is it a total ptur? Because mida oraita, this is erva, right? He was married to her. he's not allowed to marry achot ishto as long as she's still alive. And she is still alive. She might not be married to him, but she's still alive. So that's a case of a mida oraita iser, and therefore in that case, she's p'tura lagamri from yibum, right? Remember, whenever there's iser arayot, there's no yibum at all. So this woman can go marry anyone she wants without having to do chalitz or yibum. Okay? That's because they were divorced rather than, okay, they're trying to highlight here the difference between chalitza and divorce. Okay, if the woman did chalitza, there the relationship, right, is less strong. Why is the relationship? It's obvious. They were never actually married, right? It's only based on the fact that they were supposed to be married, right? It's really based on zika. He had zika to her, right? And then he got rid of the zika, but still, because he did chalitza, so that leaves remnants, midirabban. Shomeret yabam. Now, here we have a different case. She's supposed to do yibam with this guy, okay? Now, remember, she's supposed to yibum with any one of the brothers, okay? However, she's going to do yibum with one of them, or we don't even know who she's going to do yibum with, okay? In the meantime, what happens? One of the brothers goes ahead, okay? Shekidesh achiv et achota. One of the brothers gets engaged to her sister, which basically means now he's forbidden to do yibum with her, right? Because he now has a relationship with her sister, and he can't do yibum with her. However, he probably shouldn't have gotten himself into this situation, right? In other words, he was supposed to marry the sister to do yibum with her. So he wasn't really supposed to do kiddushim with the sister because it was achot zekukah, right? Achot zekukato. Okay, remember we said achot zekukato is also aser. So what do we do now? It's very interesting. We don't tell him, even though, right, you shouldn't have married her because she's achot zekukato, right? You shouldn't have gotten engaged to her. Okay, and therefore you might have said we should make him divorce her. However, what do we say? Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera amru, omrim lo hamtein ad sheyaseh achicha ma'aseh. Since there's other brothers who can do this, okay, what do they say? Don't marry her yet. Leave her in this state of erusin. Wait until your brother does yibum or chalitza with her, okay? And then you can marry the sister. Then it'll be mutter to you. Follow? So chalatz la'achiv, oknasa, okay, so now if the brother does chalitza with this woman, or he marries her, okay, right, the first guy takes care of the yibum chiyuv, yichnoset ishto, okay, he can now marry his wife, no problem. You follow? So he just is in a holding pattern. He has to wait right now until the yibum is taken care of, in which case, what's going to happen? The achot zekukato is going to disappear for him, right, because his brother took care of it for him. Once his brother takes care of it, he's mutar. Right, he's fine. Remember we said that. All the achim don't have isur krovot anymore. Only the one who did the chalitza, actually, or married her, obviously. So now, once the brother takes care of the yibum, he's now allowed to marry his wife. Meta hayivama, what if the yivama dies? Then yichnoset ishto, then there's really no problem, because she's out of the picture entirely. So once she's dead, right, even if he was married to her, he'd be allowed to marry, right? Achot isha, you can marry once she dies. Mate Yabam, now what happens? What if the Yabam dies? There's only two brothers, and the guy who was supposed to do Yibum, right, he said, I'll take care of Yibum, he dies. So now what happens? Now we have the obvious problem, right? Now he's supposed to do Yibum to one sister, and he's supposed to marry the other sister, right? He's already engaged to the other sister, so Yotziat Ishto Beget Ve'eshet Achiv B'Chalitza. Okay? He has to get rid of both of them. Okay. Some people ask her, why don't they say in this case, oilo le ishto and oilo le, I forgot the word, right, however you would word it, like we saw in other cases. I forgot the answer they gave. It was a good answer. But anyway, so, okay. So now it's a bad situation. Then he's stuck and he has to get rid of her.
Michelle, is there a time frame for when this had to be done?
The yibum?
Yeah.
So it's a good question. It kind of was raised from the last daf, because the last daf we discussed about you can't, or two dapim ago, I don't remember, you can't push off the mitzvah. Right? You can't wait for, say, oh, well, I want to do chalitza, so let's wait. Maybe the katan will get older and he'll do yibum and let's just push it off. So in a sense, there's, I would say like this, and it's clear there's no time frame because people, like we talked about this article the other day, you know, that people use chalitza the same way they use get, and they just don't take care of it and they keep this woman stranded for years. However, it's clear from the Gemara that you're supposed to take care of it right away. It says there's a mitzvah. But there's, you know, it's like there's no love, right? It's an issur, it's a the Gemara is saying, we want you to take care of the mitzvah as soon as possible. And therefore, they created all sorts of things to say, well, don't wait for the katan to do yibum. Adif that you should do chalitza, even though yibum is better, you do your chalitza now. And they tried to create a framework where they would push people to do it, but tachlis, it's a matter, someone has to get up and do something, and they can't, they can force them, I guess, eventually, but you can use all sorts of methods to try to force, like they do with a get, but...
I wasn't even thinking nefarious. I was just like, yes, that issue, but also, travel was very difficult, and I was just wondering whether there was a time frame, but...
So we're going to see that, first of all, you can't do it, that's going to be our next Mishnah, you can't do it within the first 3 months, okay? So you definitely can't do it right away. But the idea is you're supposed to do it after that, because why keep this woman waiting? But again, what halachic power does anyone have to force them to do it? That is unclear. Okay, and that's why there are women who are stuck in situations where chalitza never gets taken care of. Because there's no necessarily, it's based on the goodwill of people that, they'll take care of things in a timely manner. And then, obviously, that they won't use halacha to manipulate other people, which is unfortunate that people do. And, the question is, how do you resolve that? That's a much bigger problem. But it really has to depend that, he has to get his act together and do it. Okay. But again, like I said, yesterday or 2 days ago, we saw this issue, I think it was 2 days ago, about don't wait for a better option, do it immediately. So the halacha does try to create a framework where we push you to do it. But again, they don't really have ways to push more than that. Okay, so first the Gemara is going to ask, my v'chein. What's this v'chein ha-megaresh, right? The first case, we said, she's choletza v'lo mekebemet. And then, and also, in this case, ha-rezo p'tura. She doesn't do chalitza. So what does it mean, v'chein? So they say, Ema, it should say aval ha-megaresh. Okay, it makes more sense, right? But if you're megaresh, then she's p'tura legamre. Amarish lakish, kan shina rebi. And this is where we quoted this on the last daf. We just said it in the beginning, right? The very end of yesterday, of Mem Amud Bet. This is where he learns it from this Mishnah. He says, it's obvious from this Mishnah that the Achok Rusha is Midivrei Torah and the Achok Chalutza is Midivrei Sofri. Okay, so the Gemara here worked hafuch, right? In other words, they brought in what he said on this Mishnah just before we quoted this Mishnah. Shomer Yabam Shekidesh. Now we have the brother marries, right? He gets engaged to the sister. He does Kiddushim with the sister, and then he has to wait. Amar Shmuel, halacha kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. Now it's interesting here that he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, but it doesn't quote that anyone disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, if you noticed, right? Just Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera appears here in the Mishnah. But the assumption here is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera is based on the assumption of yesh zika, right? Because if there wasn't any zika of the Yevama, then this guy would be allowed to marry her sister without a problem, right? Only if you say ein zika, yesh zika. So that's why it's saying yesh zika. Okay. Ibai lehu meta ishto mahu b'yivimto. Now there's a good question. What if, okay, she's going to do yibum with one brother, right? The other brother gets up and marries the sister. However, let's say that same brother who married the sister, did kiddushin, right? He got engaged to the sister. Now the sister dies. Is he allowed to do yibum now with the other woman? Okay. Now what's the issue here? She was originally, when their brother died, okay, their third brother died, okay, what happened? The wife, right, this woman falls to Yibum to both of them, right? He dies, she falls to Yibum to both of them. In theory, she can marry either one of them, right? However, he changes the rules of the game. When he marries, he gets engaged to her sister. Now he's asur to her. So he was mutar, now he's asur, and now the question is, when she dies, his engaged wife, is he allowed to marry the Yivama? Okay, it was a case of Mutar, Asur, and the Mutar. So we're going to see Machloket. Rav Rabbi Chanina Damre Travaihu Meta Ishto Mutar B'Yivimto Shmuel V'Rav Asi Damre Travaihu, right? Damre Travaihu means they both say Meta Ishto Asur B'Yivimto. Okay, Machloket, whether Asur or Mutar. Amar Rava, my time a Rav. Why does Rav say it's Mutar? Mishum, he's assuming, Mishum Dehave, because Rav is living like three generations after Rav. Okay, Rav was fourth generation Emorah, and Rav was first generation Emorah. Right, he was the first of the Emorah, and we've talked about him a lot, Rav and Shmuel. Says, what's the reason for Rav? Mishum Dehave Yivama, Shehutra, V'nesra v'chazra v'hutra tachzur lehetera rishon. Right, since she was mutra to him when she fell to yibum, right, and then she became aser, and then she became mutra again. So let's go back to the first heter. Mativ Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna brings a problem here. What does he say? Gimel achim shnayim nisuin shtei achayot ve'achad mufne. You remember this case? Three brothers, two are married to two sisters, and one is not married at all. Meit echa mibalei achayot ve'asava mufne ma'amar. Okay, so first of all, a brother dies. Reuven's dies. His wife goes to Levi. Okay, he does a ma'amar with her. Ve'achar kach meit achiv ashini. Now the second brother dies. Ve'achar kach meit. Okay, so now what happens? The second brother dies. The Shimon's wife falls to Yibum to Levi. Now he's got two women. He's not allowed to marry either one of them. However, Meita Ishto Acharav, what if Shimon's wife dies then? Ota Yivama Choletza Belomit Yabemit. Okay? The first guy, Reuven's wife now, can't do Yibum anymore with Levi. She has to do Chalitza. Why? Because she was Usher at some point, right? From the moment that Shimon died until his wife dies, however long that period was, she was Asuha. So what do you see? This is the opposite, right? V'amai, why should she be Usher to do Yibum? Tehave ki Yivama Shehutra V'nesra V'chazra V'hutra Tachzor Lehetera Rishon. You got it? This should be the same as our case. These are both cases where at the Shat Nefila Yibum she was Mutar. Something happened in the interim, right? Either he marries the sister or his brother dies and the sister falls to Yibum. Both cases, they become Usher for a time period. Then that woman dies and therefore the Isser is no longer there. So she should go back to her first heter and be allowed to marry. And here it says she's not. So they say, how could Rav then say that it's Mutar? Okay? Because this one seems to say she's Asur. Okay? So Ishtik, he's quiet. He has nothing to say, Rava. Okay? Rava gave this reason for Rav, and now his reason is knocked down. He has nothing to answer. Libatar dinafik, right? This happens to you a lot, I imagine, right? You don't have anything to say, and then later you realize, oh, I should have said this, right? It was so obvious. Why didn't I say this? So after he goes out, Amar, Amai lo Amarle. Why didn't I say this? Some people say it should be Amrele. Why didn't I say this? Okay, Amarle is he said. Doesn't make sense. But anyway, he said, why didn't I say, okay, Rabbi Elazarhi, that case that we saw about the Gimel Achim Nisuot Shtei Achayot, that's all the Shitat Rabbi Elazar, if you remember him. Da'amar kevan sha'amda alav sha'ah achat bi'isur, nesra alav olamit. That must match Rabbi Elazar's opinion, who says that once she's forbidden, she's for one sha'ah, she's forbidden forever. Okay? Hadar Amar, okay, so now, that's what he thinks at first. Now, you have to know what case Rabbi Elazar said this in. Okay, it's a Mishnah at the end of the Masechet. Okay, one second, I want to just find, okay. The Mishnah says that Hamigareshet Ishto V'Hichzira, okay, let's say you divorce someone, and then you're Machzir Grushato, and then you die, okay? So she is, one second, right, what happens? You're married to this guy, okay? Therefore, you're forbidden to his brother, right? Now, you get divorced, okay? When you get divorced, you're still forbidden to the brother, right? And then, one second, let me just make sure, right. When you leave this marriage, what's going to happen is you're going to leave this marriage twice, right? First, you're going to leave because you got divorced. Now, when you leave because you got divorced, you're forbidden to the brother, Mishum Grushat Achiv. Grushat Achiv is Asur, okay, right? We just learned that all the relatives of Achot Grusha, right? All the relatives of the Grusha are Asur, right? Even though she's divorced, all the Isurim still apply. So he can't marry Grushat Achiv. There's an Isur of Grushat Achiv. So now, she comes back and remarries him. At that point, there's no Grushat Achiv, right? Because she's not Grushat Achiv, but it's Esherach. Then, he dies, there's Yibum. Yibum usually overrides Isur Esherach, but comes Rabbi Elazar and says, no, but since at some point she was forbidden Mishum Grushat Achiv, therefore we can't override that. In other words, Kevan Shasura Alav Sha'achat. Okay? That's where Rabbi Elazar says his statement. So first comes Rava and he says, I should have said that our case where it talks about the Yivama, Shchatrava, Utrava, Tachzor Le'Teira, right? He says, remember, Rav says it's Mutter. The case of the Gimel Achim Nesuot Shteh Chayot seems to contradict it because it says it was Asur because Kevan She Asura Alav She'achat. We could just say that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar, who says in the case of Machzir Gurshato also that Kevan She Asura Alav She'achat, Asura Alav Olamit. Okay, now there's a big difference though. Okay, what's the difference? Okay, we're going to see this in a minute. Hadar Amar, but then Rava rethinks it. And he says, but wait, you can see Rava was a real thinker, right? He didn't stop thinking, right? After he, first he comes up with a good answer, then he realizes, no, there's a problem. Imur de Amar Rabbi Elazar, hecha de lo chazi b'shat nefila. Aval hecha de chazi b'shat nefila mi Amar. What's the issue here? The issue is, what happened when she fell to Yibum? Right? In both the cases we brought, both the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and, or the, right, this case that comes out of our Mishnah where he was married the sister, right? He got engaged, sorry, to the sister. Or the case of the Gimel Achim Nisuot Shtei Achayot. At the time of Yibum, what happened when they fell to Yibum? Were they mutcher? Yes. Right? They were both mutcher at the moment they fell to Yibum because this guy had no relationship at the moment of Yibum to the other sister. Right? It was only after the Yibum Chiyuf happened that then he got engaged to the sister. Or the Reuven Shimon dies and his wife falls to Yibum. Right? So they both had a case where Yibum, right? The Yibum Chiyuf was Chal. Right? We call that Shat Nefila. At that moment, it was Mutar. Then something happened, right? Karama said, and it made her asur. And then, right, then another maaseh happened, which made it mutar. Okay? But the key thing here is Bishat Nefile was mutar. As opposed to the case where Rabbi Elazar talked about, the Machzir Grushato case, at the moment she falls to Yibum, she's forbidden to him because she was asur from before. She's carrying baggage with her, right? In other words, this isn't a situation that's created after the Yibum happened, right? After the Chi of Yibum happens. This is a situation that was a past situation. At the moment that Yibum happens, in that case of the Machzir Grushato, she's already forbidden to him immediately. So that's why Rabbi Elazar is not going to permit it, right? Because she was a sur at that point. Okay, so here he says, okay, Hadar Amar, Imur Damar Rabbi Elazar, Hecha de lo chazi b'shat nefila, right? He was talking when she wasn't ra'oi b'shat nefila. Aval Hecha de chazi b'shat nefila mi Amar, and therefore he can't say that that case of the Gimel Achim, Shtei Nesuot Shtei Achayot v'chulei, that case can't be Rabbi Elazar. Because you can't assume that Rabbi Elazar would agree in that case, because in that case it was mutter dafka b'shat Yibum. In which case, you still have a question on him, which is, in the case of the Gimel Achim, what do we see? Hutar, Asur, she doesn't go back to the Heter HaRishon. And Rav said, in our case, she goes back to the Heter HaRishon. So now, Hadar Amar, in. Then we say no. He actually does agree. Okay, how do we know he agrees? Okay, that Rabbi Elazar would say that even if Chazi B'Shat Nefila, it would be Mutar. Okay, in other words, first he says Rabbi Elazar would agree with me. Then he said, right, would say like the Braita, right? Actually, is it a Mishnah? That Gimel Achim is probably a Mishnah. I forgot, but I think it's the Mishnah on Kaf Tet. Then, right, he says, that can't be Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar wouldn't agree that if in Shat Nefila was Mutcher, that it would be Aser. But then he says, no, he would, because Rabbi Elazar Amar, Meita Yivimto, in our case, what does he say? Meita Yivimto Mutar B'Ishto. Meita Ishto, Ota Yivama, Choletza V'Lomitya Bemet. He says explicitly about our case in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar basically says against what Rav says. You follow? He says, if Meita Ishto, then the Yivamah Choletza V'Lomitya Bemet. Remember, the whole thing was we had a question. If the sister dies that he did Kiddushin with, is he now allowed to marry her or not allowed to marry her? So Rav said he's allowed. Now he says, there's a braita that says that Rabbi Elazar said he's not allowed. So what do we see from there? That Rabbi Elazar had this shita that he's not allowed, that even if mutar b'shat nefila, and then asur, she doesn't go back l'heter arishon. Kach says Rabbi Elazar. So we've now proven that Rabbi Elazar could say what he could say against him, and therefore, it's very easy for Rav to answer, oh, that's the shita of Rabbi Elazar. But Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and I go with Chachamim. Then they say, okay, so if that's the case, so le mashmuel v'rav asi damar k'Rabbi Elazar, right? So then the assumption must be that the opposite opinion, okay, until now we've all been dealing with Rav, who said it's mutter. But Shmuel and Rav Asi said that it's usher to marry, to do Yibum with the sister after the sister dies, right? They did Kiddushin, the Kiddushin wife dies, now he can do Yibum with her. Comes Shmuel and Rav Asi and says, you can't do Yibum with her. So now they say, it must be the Halak Rabbi Elazar. That, Hutra, Ne'esra, V'chazra V'hutra, Lo tachzor le'teira rishon, just like Rabbi Elazar said, right? He said it in the Machzir Grushato case, but apparently now that we brought this other braita, he also said in our case, Meita ishto otayiv ha'machol letzav lomit yabemet. That seems to match exactly what Shmuel Rav Asi said. So then they say no, because where are we going to explain Shmuel and Rav Asi can say, I even agree with Chachamim. In other words, I can, yes, of course, Rabbi Elazar says so, but even according to Chachamim, we think that it's Asur. Why? Apilu tema kerabanan. Now remember, Rabbanan or cholek on Rabbi Elazar in the case of the Machzir Grushato case. So now he's going to explain how they would distinguish between the Machzir Grushato case and our case. Apilu tema karabanan ad kan lo kamiflege rabanan alei de Rabbi Elazar ela mishum to be minefila ve'elach lo mitzar alayu. Aval hacha de itzar afilu rabanan modi. Now they're going to say the exact opposite of what we said before. Before we said what happened to Mishan Afila, it was mutter, and therefore Rabbi Elazar would agree with us that even in our case it would be mutter. That's what we tried to say. Now we're going to say the opposite. Remember, we rejected that, but that was one thought they had. Now we're going to say the Chachamim would say, in our case, what's the story? She becomes asur to him after the Yibum Chiyuv is Chal. And because of that, we're not going to allow her to be mutar. But in the other case of the Grushato, we're talking about something in the past that happened. That, when Yibum happens, that overrides, right? Yibum comes and overrides Esharach, it can override Achot Grusha. Yibum comes and overrides things. But if something happens after the Yibum Chiyuv came, then we can't override that. Okay, so therefore in our case, since at the moment of Yibum it was allowed, but then came a new Isser because he gets engaged to the sister, that we can't override. Because that, okay, that's what it says here. Minafila ve'elach lo mitzar alayu, but hacha di itzer, here afilu rabbana modu, that it's not going to be allowed in our case. Okay, so you can throw things, right? This is something we see in the Gemara all the time. You can take the same logic, right, and flip it and say the opposite and, you know, use a different understanding of each of the distinctions between the cases. Right? One says it's dafka better, right, it's more likely we can override it if it was something old. And one says it's more likely we can override it if it's something new, right? It's basically the flip. Okay. New Mishnah. Hayivama, this is review of stuff we've done. Hayivama lo tachlots velo tityabem ad sheyesh lo shlosha chodeshim. Okay, now we have this issue of waiting 3 months because we want to know whose baby's what. And we're going to learn that this is a thing that they basically, we learned this already, they applied it even to cases where it's not relevant. It's a basic, you know, thing that's very hard to get rid of now. We even talked about how nowadays sometimes there's situations where it's very hard to override halachically. So you have to wait this 3 months, no matter if you could have been pregnant, couldn't have been pregnant, or a ketana, or anything, right?
Also, if she has a baby, then she doesn't have to do it. She's p'tura mi'ibum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she has a baby, she's p'tura mi'ibum. Right. So that's why we're going to wait the 3 months and see what happens, right? Hayivama lo tachlots v'lo tityabem ad sheyesh lo shlosha chodashim. V'chein kol shar hanashim lo yitarsu v'lo yinasu ad sheyulam shlosha chodashim. Echa betulot, echa beulot, echa grushot, echa lamanot, echa nesuot, echa arusot. Okay, this is actually a very typical structure in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask, in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to ask, why do you have to say all these distinctions, okay? But this is very common in the Mishnah, where they say this and that and this and that and this and that. And oftentimes, they're not all necessary cases for the Mishnah to bring. The Gemara is going to ask why they bring all these cases. But the Gemara's approach is, oh, they must have brought it for a reason, but I think that it's a style thing, right? Like there's a adamu ad la'olam bein b'shogeg bein ba'onis bein be, what is it? Bein ba'onis bein b'ratzon bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid. Obviously b'ratzon, if you did it, you're adamu ad la'olam. What does that mean, right? You're responsible if you did it b'mezid. Of course you're responsible if you did it b'mezid. But they're trying to show opposites. It's like a structure. So now, okay, so whether you're a betula, right? What would be the case of a betula where you were married to someone for whatever reason, you didn't actually have sex with them and then they died. Okay, and if they died, well, you're still a betula, and then you fall to Yibum, you still have to wait, even if you're a betula. Okay, echa beulot, echa grushot, echa lamanot, nesuot, arusot. Okay, everybody waits. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Hu omer, ha-nesuot yitarsu, v'ha-rusot yinasu. Again, we have this play on words, right? The nesuot can get engaged, because we're not worried about engagement. You're not allowed to be together when you're engaged. Okay? And if they were only engaged, then they can get married, because if you were only engaged, you weren't allowed to be together. So therefore, there's no chashash you're going to be pregnant. Chutz min ha'arusot shebi Yehuda mipnei shelibo gaspa. Here we have a case of arusot that were in Yehuda. Now, what's the story here? Okay? Mipnei shelibo gaspa. What does that mean? There was an assumption that the arusot in Yehuda would be together with their husbands. Okay? They would do yichud with their husbands. They wouldn't necessarily have sex, but they would do yichud before the marriage. Okay? Here's some interesting explanations. Okay? Some people explain that the issue is that we're concerned, right? You go from basically zero to everything on the first night, right? People understand this problem nowadays, right? That, you know, you take a couple that's shomer nikiya, and then all of a sudden the first night there's expectations they're going to have sex with each other. That's very difficult to go from nothing to something. So they would basically develop some sort of physical relationship. They would be alone together. And the assumption is without actually having sex, but they would do that before the marriage. Now, there's an interesting explanation given the Yerushalmi for this, because this is a little bit difficult, right? If you have the issues, right, you assume there's issues of negia and you can't, so how do you have this? So the Mishnah says, I took it from the Yerushalmi, let me just find it. So there was a Masoret that Yehuda haraga desav. Okay, so Berishona gazru shma b'Yehuda. Okay, so Dafka, the enemies were against the Jews in Yehuda because they assumed that Yehuda haraga desav or something. There was a Masoret. So they were against the Jews in Yehuda. So what did they do? They would be Misha'abe Bahem va'onsim et benotehen. Okay, and they would, what would they do? Any woman who was going to get married had to go before she got married to this hegemon, okay, the leader. And he would probably have sex with them. So what did they do? Hitkinu shiye ba'ala ba'aleha oda bebeit avia. Mitoch shi yodat she'emat ba'aleha aleha, he nigderet. They thought somehow it would empower the woman if she had had some previous experience. Okay? Or, okay, another reason was they thought that maybe if she actually was together with her husband before, right, eng zera ela bitula, and he'd see she wasn't a bitula, so he wouldn't have sex with her. So, anyway, that's one explanation given for this strange halacha, because how could you, right? It's a very strange issue. Anyway, there's different explanations given. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ko hanashim yit'arsu, chutz min ha'almana mipnei ha'ibul. Now he says a different distinction. No, all these women are allowed to get engaged. There's only, because engagement doesn't allow you to be together with him, with your husband, so there's no concern of you getting pregnant. Except for who? The almana. Why the almana? Because it's inappropriate. If her husband just died, don't get engaged within 3 months. It's just not appropriate, okay? Ibu like the avelut. Okay, now. Bishlama lo titiabim. We understand why you can't do yibum shema yehev la ben kayama. Bekapaga be isur eshet achto oraita, right? We understand this is the whole thing we discussed. If she ends up marrying, it turns out she was, right, she does yibum. Turns out she was pregnant, right? What happens? So she ends up, it was usher for her to marry him in the first place because it was esherach, because there was no chiyuv of yibum, in which case it's forbidden mishum esherach. So there it's a chiyuv doraita. Ela lo tachlot amai, but why can't she do chalitza? There's no isser to do chalitza, right? She could do chalitza, and if in the end, right, the baby's born, so it turned out her chalitza wasn't anything. So now we want to understand why can't she do chalitza, and this basically is some more review of the sugya we already learned. So first they say, Lema tahavit yuv to Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe you should say that this is a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, raises an issue for him. Tamar, chalitza mu'uberet shma chalitza, right? He said, if you do chalitza with a mu'uberet, it works. And our Mishnah seems to imply you can't do chalitza with this woman if she's mu'uberet. So you have to wait 3 months to make sure she's not mu'uberet. And then you do chalitza. So they say, so first their question is, what do you mean maybe this raises a problem with Rabbi Yochanan? Do you guys remember the sugya there? We already love me utvina la Rabbi Yochanan chadisimna. We already contradicted Rabbi Yochanan from other places. In other words, don't say maybe this raises a problem. We already raised problems to Rabbi Yochanan. We already knocked down his shita. If you remember, this was one of the three cases where we hold like Rish Lakish over Rabbi Yochanan, because we knocked down Rabbi Yochanan's shita. So then they say, no, so you misunderstood. I meant, lema mehan nami tavitivta. Maybe we should add an additional problem to Rabbi Yochanan from this mission. Okay? So then they say, lo, you can't raise a problem to Rabbi Yochanan from here. Why? Ha ha hainu tama shema yehev la ben kayama. V'nim tzeit atama tzricha karuz l'kehuna. They're saying the issue here isn't that we're worried that the chalitza won't work. The chalitza could work. We can explain this mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan. This is exactly what we saw in the previous sugya. We can explain this mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan. However, there's a separate problem. If she does the chalitza does work. However, it turns out the woman's pregnant, she has a baby, in which case she didn't even need chalitza, right? So again, no harm done with doing chalitza, but what's the harm done? Dilma ika, you need to now announce that this chalitza is no longer a chalitza, right? In which case she can marry a kohen. So that's the problem here. So then they say, wait, but v'nitzracha, so let them make a cruise. And they say no, because the problem is dilma ika dehavi b'chalitza v'lohavi b'achraza u'mifsalu amina kehuna. Right, we're worried they're going to apostle her from the kehuna because they're not going to know that she was that this chalitza wasn't any good. They'll be at the chalitza, but they won't be at the achraza, and they won't know. And therefore, again, we're going to just clarify this. The reason why she can't do chalitza is not because chalitza is not a good chalitza if she's mu'uberet. It could work, right, assuming the baby doesn't make it. But the issue is that if the baby does make it and she ends up, the chalitza was irrelevant, then what should they have done? They needed to tell everyone that this chalitza is not a good chalitza, in which case she can marry Kohanim, and people won't necessarily know that. So therefore, wait to do the chalitza when you're vaday, and then everyone will know. So then they say, well, okay, that explanation only works for some of the cases. Tina Chalmana, fine, it works for an almana, but grusha ma'ika lemeimar. What if she was grusha from her husband or from her first husband, let's say? Okay, she was a divorcee. Then she gets married to this guy, or let's say he was machzir grushato, and then he dies, in which case she's already pasul l'kuna. So you wouldn't need to wait with the chalitza for a grusha, because she's already pasul l'kuna. If that's the only issue. So then I say, no, there could be another issue. Mishum demasi la'mazono. Okay, what's the issue with mazono? We're going to see this later on the daf, that a woman, we talked about this, a ketubah, what does a ketubah mean? You have a lump sum of money you can get, right, when the husband dies or divorces you. However, until you demand your ketubah money, what do? We give you mizonot. In the case of a yabam, though, it's different. In the case of a yabam, you only get mizonot for the first 3 months from the husband's estate, the original husband's estate. As soon as those 3 months are over, what do we say? You're now, the yabam is responsible for you. When he does Yibum, he'll give you money. Until he does Yibum, you're stuck. You don't have Mizonot from anywhere. So what do they say? She shouldn't get married the first 3 months because she's going to be mafsid her Mizonot. As soon as she marries someone new, she doesn't get Mizonot from the first husband's estate. So it's more like an Etza Tova for her. Get your money, right? It's all financial. Get your money for your first 3 months. And then once your 3 months are over and you're not going to get Mizonot anymore, then go get married. So they say, okay, well, that works for an Nesua. But Arusa, Arusha ma'ika lemeimar. Arusa, what if she's an arusa and she's a divorcee from an erusin? She's a divorcee and she was only engaged to the husband. She was only engaged to the husband. What did we learn? The ketubah, usually they gave it the nisuin. In which case, she doesn't get mizonot anyway. So we don't have that reason. So Ella, therefore, they say this can't be the reason. Okay, so we tried to say maybe it's because of the karuz. That wasn't good. Maybe it's because of the mizonot. That also doesn't apply to all the cases. So therefore, they give a different explanation. Ela mishum to Rabbi Yossi Tanya. Ma'aseh ba'adam achad shabalaf ne Rabbi Yossi. Amar le, ma'u lachlotz b'toch shlosha. Amar le, lo tachlotz. So he says, v'tachlotu ma'abakach. So I don't understand. Why can't you do chalitza? So what? Right? What's the harm done? So he answers, kara alav mikraze. Im lo yachpotz. Ha'im chafetz yabam. Right? Im lo yachpotz, he does chalitza, right? But meaning, he does, this is, we learned this already, right? Meaning, but if he wanted to, he could do yibum. And what do we learn from here? So what do we learn from here? Why can't you do chalitza within the first 3 months? Because you can't do yibum within the first 3 months. So since you can't do yibum, you can't do chalitza, because you can only do yibum, chalitza, when there's an option to do yibum. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Okay, the end of the daf talks a lot about this. We'll see, like, about 8 lines from the bottom. They go into the Shlosha Chodeshim Arishonim, Nizon Mishal Baal, Nikam Ba'elach Lo Mishal Baal, right, the Lo Mishal Yabam, okay, which creates this very, I just want to point out, because we didn't get to it, but that it's a really, I'll skip that little keta. I just want to get to this together, since we won't be doing this stuff together. It says, Lo Mishal Baal, Lo Mishal Yabam, and then it says, only if he was omeid bedin, that they said you have to do yibam and you didn't, right? Here's a case where you asked about, right? What if he doesn't? They bring him to court, ubarach, and he runs away. Then we penalize him, and he's zonet mishal yabam, okay? What if she's bilifnei yabam katan, right? Now what happens to her? So miyabim leitle, mibal mai, right? She can't get from the yabam because he's a katan. He doesn't have any money, right? So maybe we should give her from her original husband, continue the mizonot. So pliga barav acha baravina chadamar itla v'chadamar leitla. V'hilchata leitla. Okay, the halacha is she doesn't get mizonot. It's this crazy situation. She's in a situation where she doesn't get mizonot, okay? and not from the Baal, not from the Yabam, because he's a katan, and she's stuck in the hall. And the Gemara says, crazy, Mishmaya Kansuha. It's the it's God that put her into this situation. Okay? Isn't that crazy, right? And she's just stuck. Now, what I read, the Koran actually has it in one of the notes, that the Gaonim sometimes paskin in cases like this against the Halacha and the Gemara. Okay? And that they actually, sometimes, by the way, Hilchata is something added by a later generation, and it's not necessarily the Gemara paskin that way, first of all. Sometimes it's from the Gaonim or from the in-between period of the Sfaraim. In any case, it's interesting that the Gaonim paskin in situations where the woman was really in a desperate state and didn't have money, that they did give her mazona from the husband's estate. It's a very interesting halacha and a very strange, I just wanted to discuss it a little bit about this Mishamaya Kansuma. Very interesting or difficult to accept. Okay. Shabbat shalom.